Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. If you're visiting with us, we are been walking through this this letter of Paul to the church in Ephesus, and we are at chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. And this is actually verses that we are going to look at not only this week, but next week as well. And so I'd ask that you follow along with me as I read aloud. This is God's holy and authoritative, inspired and infallible word. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Listen to the reading of God's word, and may he bless it unto us. I'm going to encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage. Our focus is going to be primarily on verses 22 through 24 and the second half of verse 33. That's going to be our primary focus, but there's going to be points where we're going to look at some other parts of this text and make reference to it. So it'd be good to have you have your Bibles open. If you're someone who wants to take some notes, I'll do my best and help you in that. Let's go to our Lord and let's ask for his blessings. Lord, your word is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. And as we read this passage, we might already sense our defense mechanisms coming up. We might already begin making straw man arguments. We might already be putting ourselves as superior over your word. But Lord, as we think of the idea of submission, Lord, may we submit ourselves to your word, knowing that it is indeed useful for us, it's profitable for us, and it's your word breathed out. And so, Lord, may we take this as your words to us. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let all of God's people say, Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I need to begin this message with a disclaimer. I don't usually begin certain messages with a disclaimer, but this time it is. This sermon is not what I would call a special edition of a special Father's Day message. This is not intentionally directed at wives here on this day that Hallmark sets aside as one to celebrate fathers. This is not a message where I want any husband here to look at their wife and whisper to her, I hope you're listening. Because if he does, then wives, you can whisper back, don't worry, your time is next week. This passage begins Paul's explanation or application of the new life in Christ in conjunction to the relationships in the home. In Greek literature and Greek philosophy and understanding, it often homes were designated, and even the writings of philosophers would designate writings as the relationship of wives and husbands, as children and parents, and then masters and slaves. If you'll look in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 22, and read through chapter 6 through 9, you will see those distinctions. And those are what we're going to be looking at in the coming weeks. But this text that we're going to read today has become quite controversial in our culture. I think we all agree that we live in an age of political correctiveness. We live in a time where people are questioning the roles and responsibilities within marriage. We're seeing the rise of feminism and other movements. We are seeing attacks on the family. And so we look at this passage and we say, well, that's old-fashioned. That's old school. That was for then. That has nothing to do with now. But brothers and sisters in Christ, if we truly cling to 2 Timothy 3:16, which says that all the scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, reproof, correcting, and training in righteousness, then guess what? This is a passage for us. And it's not old-fashioned, but it's something we need to hear today. But because this goes so strongly against our culture, let me just say a couple of things at the very beginning. First of all, I want us to recognize that all of God's commands, including our text, are for our good. He is wise and loving. He has designated marriage or designed marriage, and he commands us how to live in it. I want to make this very clear. God is not a cosmic male chauvinist. He is not punishing women and rewarding men by these respective roles in marriage. But regardless of whether we're a husband or a wife today, or whether we are aspiring someday to be married, whether we are single, it does not matter it does not matter where we are at, but we must recognize that all of God's commands are used to reflect our obedience to him, and that he loves us and is wise and cares. The second thing I want to say very briefly is this, is that if you think about it, Christian marriage is a powerful witness to this world. Christian marriage is a powerful witness because we live in a world that is very selfish, where everyone is fighting for his rights or her rights. And so the world should instantly see the differences in a Christian marriage. They should be able to look at a Christian husband and say, look at how tenderly and selflessly he loves his wife as Christ loved the church. The world should look at a Christian wife who says, look how she joyfully submits and respects her husband and seeks his good. That they can look at Christian children as like Blythe and Ellie and others and who will obey their parents how they will see parents who lovingly and patiently train their children in the ways of the Lord. This verse to the world seems very counterculture, but it's for us. It's for our children and for those who are far off. This idea of submission. And that's our focus today. And that's why the title of the message is Wives Submit. I'll give you a sneak peek. Next week, I could tell you what the title of the next week's sermon is. Next week's sermon title is called Husbands Love. Because that's really the two main commands we have here. Look at verse 22. Wives Submit. Look at verse 25. Husbands Love. And so we want to focus this morning primarily at the submissive wife. And what that means, because I know, if we're honest, we have to admit that some of the world's views and attitudes about husbands and wives has snuck into the church. Because that word submission is a dirty word to some. So let's look at this passage. I'm going to make four very quick points this morning, and Lord willing, very quick points regarding this idea of submission. So let's look at it. Our first point is this, is to submit biblically to husbands, wives must submit to the Lord. Verse 22, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, I have good news and bad news for our ladies in this listening today. The good news, quote unquote good news, is that word submit that we see in the ESV is not really there at all. And so some of you are going, then why is it there? Well, it's there because if you look at verse 21, it says submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then it says wives to your husbands as to the Lord, implying that submission carries over to verse 21. Now, before you decide to get picky on this, I just want to let you know that there's a passage that's very similar that we're going to read for our next week during our reading of God's will for our lives in Colossians chapter 3. And guess what? That word submit is there. It's in the Greek. It's there. So here we have this word submit. What does that word mean? Well, that word, as we looked at last week, referred to it in recent weeks, we talked about this idea of putting oneself in rank under another. Biblical submission, to give you a definition of biblical submission, is this. It's the attitude and action of willingly and wholeheartedly respecting, yielding to, and obeying the authority of another. Let me read that one more time. The definition of biblical submission is the attitude and action of willingly and wholeheartedly respecting, yielding to, and obeying the authority of another. This idea of biblical submission is not simply here just because of for husbands and wives, but it applies to our relationship with God. It applies to our relationship with our governing authorities, with the church government, with the session. It involves children to their parents, workers to their employers. It involves all aspects of submission. And here we read, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, there are some that will want to change this definition of submission, and they want to make it mutual submission. In other words, they want to say that this submission, wives, submit to your husbands, simply means that it's not about authority, but it's about respect and consideration towards one another. Now, that sounds all good. That sounds good, except for the fact of if you take that idea of mutual submission and take it to the following illustrations, that would mean that we would have mutual submission between parents and children, between masters and slaves, between Christ and his church. That we would think that in the relationship between Christ and his church, in some ways, mutual submission means that Christ, in some ways, has to submit to us. And that's not at all scriptural. And so we see this idea that God has placed us in positions of authority. And in this case, wives are called to submit to their husbands. But the reality is, if we take a step back, all of us, all Christians are under authority. We husbands are not an authority to themselves. This is not one of these things where the buck stops here. That each one of us has to submit to Christ. Each one of us submits ourselves to those in authority over us. And so if we live in rebellion to authority, then we're living in the defiance to God himself. Just as if the wife doesn't submit to her husband, she's not submitting to the Lord. She's living in disobedience. And if you remember in verses 18 through 20 of chapter 4, we saw in this walking wisely, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And part of that being filled with the Spirit was that joy and that thanksgiving. And so with that in mind, wives are, let me back up, all of us who are living with authorities over us should just submit with a sense of thanksgiving and gladness. I'm not going to ask the show a raise of hands, but I'm fairly confident most of us at one point or another have not done that. We have not submitted with thanksgiving or joy. Paul's saying here that a wife's submission should not be a cross to bear, but it should be something that's joyful. And it's not just to all men. But it is submitting to your own husband as to the Lord. That doesn't necessarily equate those two as exactly the same, because there's a big difference. If we were Baptists, I'd ask all the wives to say amen after the statement I'm about to say. But since we're not Baptists, I guess we can't do that. I'll leave that up to you. But here's the difference. Is the Lord is perfect and every husband isn't. No amens. Okay. So what Paul says here, submission to husbands is ultimately obedience to the Lord. And so fighting against the idea of being subject to the husband is really a conflict between you and the Lord, between wives and the Lord. Because this is the order that God has ordained. We didn't make this up. We didn't get a group of human beings around and go, hey, I got an idea. Let's put the men here and the women here and the children down here. And the pets down here. Ultimately, we all must yield to the Lord. Ultimately, we must all yield to His word. So to submit biblically to husbands, wives must submit to the Lord. And that leads us to another word that maybe some of us don't really like, and that is this, the second point, is to submit biblically to husbands, wives must recognize the husband's headship. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Gentlemen, I want you to note what Paul doesn't say here. Paul didn't tell husbands, you know, if you can, you ought to be the head of the wife, but, you know, if you can't, it's okay. No, there's instructions for us here too, isn't there? Regarding leading our families, leading them spiritually, protecting them, caring for them. As I mentioned, notice that women aren't told to submit to all men, but simply to their husbands. And this principle here is, I want you to note that this principle here in this verse is about male headship in marriage. It has nothing to do with male superiority in society. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is not denying the dignity of womanhood. He's not denying the spiritual equality of men and women before God. He is simply stating factually that women have a different role in the marriage relationship than men. And the reality is men is, as I mentioned, it's not you ought to be the head of, the husband ought to be the head of his wife. It's the husband is the head of his is the head of his wife. And so men, we cannot be weak and we cannot be ineffective in our relationships, in our marriages, with our families. We are in a position, as one commentator says, of inescapable leadership. You can't simply say, I'm not going to lead today. And this is how God has designed marriage. So what does this mean for us? Well, first of all, it means there are roles in marriage. We are called to submit to one another. All believers should submit to one another, as it says in verse 21. But here, primarily, it says wives should submit to their husbands. It doesn't say husbands should submit to their wives. The New Testament commands the wife to be subject to her husband. It never commands the husband to be subject to his wife. And I also want you to know that it doesn't command the husband to put his wife in subjection either. This is not about dominance. It's about care. So as men, we need to care. We need to make it a joy for our wives. We need to love them. We'll talk more about that next week. Don't want to give away too much for next week's sermon. This is not a culturally determined role. It's ordained by God. And so husbands, be the head of your wife, of your family. Lead them spiritually. Take care of them. Protect them. Men, young men, those who are single, strive for that. Don't neglect that. Don't believe the culture that tries to tear you down and tell you that men are nothing. Because we're called to be heads of our households. But notice also it says here that just as Christ's headship over the church means that he has authority over the church for her good, the husband also has authority for her good as well. Let me read from 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3. Paul writes this, "But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of the Christ." There is a order. There is a hierarchy of authority. And so don't think that authority is given just to be advantageous to one party and suppress those under them. Because that's not what biblical authority is all about. That's what worldly authority does, but that's not what biblical authority does. It's for blessings. It's for protection. It's those in authority will be accountable. We talk about that as a session, as elders. We read in Hebrews about how we are called to be accountable for your souls. Travis and Mark and I have to stand before the Lord and we are held accountable because we are in a place of authority. How have we cared for you? How have we protected you? How have we watched over for you? We do not take that lightly. We don't just shrug our shoulders and go, eh. And so I hope, maybe just as a side note, if I can say this, I hope you recognize how much we do care for you and how much we do love you and how much we do watch over your souls because we love the Lord and we submit ourselves to Him. And husbands, you are to do the same for your wives. Don't be negligent. Don't shrug off those responsibilities. Don't abuse it for your own advantages because you will have to answer before God as well. And Paul says that. Paul says, for the husband is the head of wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And later on, we're going to see in verse 32, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Here's that correlation between them. He's using these words both as assuring the wives and exhorting the husbands. Because he recognizes Christ is head over the church. Christ gave himself up on the cross for his people to save them from their sins. And in the same way, we as husbands caring for our wives as those in authority over them, we are giving ourselves up for them. We have to be sacrificial out of love. Brothers, that's a calling, isn't it? Wives, ladies, this is the position that we are in. We're here to protect and help, not to abuse, not to harm, but to care and to love. And so, brothers,
Be that godly head of your house, of the household, so that your wives can be protected spiritually, physically. Be sacrificial, because Christ was sacrificial to his church. And that leads us to a third point, and that is this, is to submit biblically. We need to understand what that biblical submission is and is not. We all need to understand that. Look verse 24. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, I know all our eyes are going directly to that phrase, in everything, and we're saying, oh, there is no loophole. And let me just say at the very beginning, we shouldn't be looking for loopholes. We shouldn't be looking for loopholes at all. If that's our first inclination, then we're approaching this all wrong. We need to understand what submission is. Submission is about respect, about loving his wife, Paul says twice in this passage, verse 25, verse 33. And then in verse 33, Paul says that wives must respect their husbands. We shouldn't be attacking each other. We shouldn't be putting each other down. She should be supportive and encouraging. And he should be loyal and loving. You might have heard the phrase battle of the sexes, the battle of husbands and wives. Some of you might have watched the old film War of the Roses, and you saw what happens when a husband and wife don't particularly get along with each other, and you see its detriment. Marriage should never be a competition, but it should be about contentment. You see, worldly wives try to get their husbands to make him pay for what he has done to hurt her. Godly wives will seek to please and love and respect their husbands. Submission doesn't mean that wives are going to subvert husbands' wills and desires. You're not going to be deceiving, manipulating, whining, nagging, criticizing, apathetic. You should be encouraging. You should be responding with love. You don't go behind their back to get what you want. That's not submission. When we talk about Christ submitting, when we talk about as the church submits to Christ, and we think about Christ Jesus and as we submit to him, is that how we submit? Do we manipulate? Do we whine to Christ and say, your rules are unfair? Do we nag? Do we go behind his back and just simply go, you know what, I'm just going to do things my way? Well, we do sinfully, don't we? That's not submission either. And of course, as I said, this is not implying that wives are inferior to husbands. Just like I wouldn't say that the son is inferior to the father, because the son submits to the father. Godly husbands are good managers of their household. Good managers utilize and praise the strengths of those he manages. And so we must remember that. We must recognize our wives' gifts, brothers, and let them use it for their common good. Encourage them. Don't look at them. And yes, I know you could say, well, 1 Peter said they're the weaker vessel.
That doesn't imply inferiority. Submission also doesn't imply passivity either. When wives are called to submit to their husbands, that doesn't mean that you have to fetch their paper, put their slippers on, make them a meal, greet them at the door with their, grab their hat and coat, and how was your day, honey? Proverbs 31 is not, the Proverbs 31 woman is not a model of passivity. It doesn't mean to encourage his laziness. It doesn't mean to encourage his inabilities. No, a submissive wife sometimes will have to lovingly and humbly confront her husband if he is in sin.
She is able and willing and allowed to communicate her dissatisfaction with her husband's aloofness or insensitivity. She's allowed to share her opinions and feelings. And we as brothers need to listen. Listen carefully. Because in this marriage, a marriage without communication is dead. It doesn't imply passivity. It doesn't require submission. It doesn't mean that your women, you ladies, are not allowed to use your spiritual gifts. We can read throughout the scriptures, throughout church history, a number of women who have impacted the church. Priscilla and her husband Aquila helped Apollos straighten his theology out in Acts 18. We read about Lois and Eunice who raised up Timothy in the scriptures. Paul refers to the mother of Rufus at the end of Romans as Rufus's mother and mine. And we can read about women throughout church history who've made an impact on the church in many large and maybe not so evident ways. That's not what this submission means either. So what does it mean? Well, it means that verse 24, that you should submit in everything to their husbands. And so there's that two little words in everything. So what does it mean? And that leads us to this fourth point. Genuine submission to Christ and submission to husbands must be total. It is in everything. But I told you, you shouldn't be looking for loopholes. There is one. One. And here's that loophole. That loophole is, it's better to obey God than man, Acts 5:29. If husbands, if you're telling your wife that maybe we should switch up marital partners with somebody else just for a night. If you're thinking that, you know what, I need you to lie for me. We need to cheat. Can you watch this pornography with me? Maybe we can get some ideas. Honey, let's not go to church today. All those things, you are to obey God rather than man. So there's your loophole. There's that one little loophole, but it's a big one. But let me just say to you this. Is that we, by nature, all try to dodge difficult commands. And so many wives might say, I would submit to my husband if he just loved me, as you've described. But I can't submit to him. He's selfish. He's insensitive. And yeah, we can be. No doubt about it. But there's something dangerous when our first reaction to God's instructions in verses 22 through 24 and then at the end of verse 33, there is something dangerous about saying right off the offset, I'm going to find a way that I can avoid doing this. In everything, we need to submit our thoughts and our words and our deeds to this, to Christ in this. Submission and respect begins in our thoughts. And it's expressed often in our words and our deeds. Are we, you know, and we can look at our husbands and yeah, we know we have shortcomings. We know that we have weaknesses. We know we have flaws. But ladies, are you focused upon them? Or are you trying to encourage and affirm affirm his strengths and encourage him, support him and respond to him? That's that in everything. Doesn't mean that you say yes to every demand. Doesn't mean that you're fostering your husband's laziness and his irresponsibility. You're allowed to confront him. But if he asks you to do things that are contrary to Scripture, you have the right to say no to that submission. If there's physical abuse, you have the right to say no. There's drugs. There's violation of any of God's law, the law of the state. You can say no. But we pray that our husbands would be the husbands God has called them to be. And we pray that the wives would be the wives that God has called them to be. And that the generation that comes up, those who are single now and those are our children, even someone like little Blythe, that she would know and recognize the roles and responsibilities within marriage, not as some sort of cross, as some sort of burden to bear, but simply recognizing that this is what God has ordained and has designed. What does the world see in our marriages? Why pray that our world would never see Christian, so-called Christian husbands treating his wife poorly and putting her down or abusing her or trying to be a dictator or avoiding headship? Because you know what that tells us? If it's true, verse 32, that it refers to Christ and the church, what you are communicating is this, is that Christ abuses his people. Christ doesn't care about his church, his bride. He puts her down. He's not a gentle, loving Christ. He's a cruel tyrant. And that Christ doesn't shepherd his flock. And that we can live any way we want. When wives fail to submit to their husbands and recognize his headship and fails to respect him, what we communicate to a world is that we might be a church, but we could care less about Christ. We don't have to listen to him. We don't have to. He's not our head. He's a figurehead, but he's not really, truly an authority over me. What does a watching world see in our witness in our marriages? Because there is something about our marriages reflecting Christ and his church. Yes, this text is controversial. But it's our Christian marriages. It's our submission to Christ. That's a powerful witness to a very selfish world. Wives, you're called to submit. Just as we're called to submit to Christ. And husbands, as we will see next week, we're called to love as Christ love the church. May God strengthen our marriages. May God help us to understand our roles and our responsibilities, not simply as husbands and wives, but as the church of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, this mystery is indeed profound. And to say that this relationship between husbands and wives refers to Christ and the church. Oh Lord, we pray that we would not have put up the barriers. We've not closed our ears to your word, but that we would have heard it. And Lord, that you would change our marriages. Lord, change our hearts. Change our lives so that our wives would recognize it's not your position to lord over your husband, just as God said to Eve in the garden after the fall, that your desire will be for your husband and his position. But Lord, may our wives here, our ladies, submit to their husbands. And may we as husbands not be a dictator, not lord our authority over them, but instead respect and love and make their submission, live our lives in such a way that their submission is one of true joy and thanksgiving. Lord, clarify these words to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And let all of God's people say, Amen.